Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Church, for allowing me to go to the Arctic. And it's because of y'all's faithful support every month that I'm able to do things like that. And I don't take it for granted. And God has richly blessed us because of you folks. And I just want to make sure I let you know I appreciate it so much from the bottom of my heart. It's amazing what the Lord allow you to do if you make yourself available to him. I believe it was Dr. Seitler years ago said, if you make yourself available to him, he'll give you the ability. He'll give you, he'll make you able to do whatever he calls you to do. And he certainly has proved that in my life. And he's provided a lot of things for me in my life and in our ministry. And I thank God for that. We had a tremendous trip to Alaska. Saying Alaska sounds like you're going on a pleasure trip, but we worked the whole time we were there. I'd like to go back for a pleasure trip one of these days, but we had a great time. God blessed, and we were able to pass out almost 1,000 Bibles and pamphlets and things to the villages there. And I'll get into that in just a little bit more, but I was just thinking about how God has blessed us with the physical needs. We were up in a church in Indiana, and a pastor there, they bought me this suit, and I just thank God for how he provides for us. I was needing some suits, and they bought this suit for me, and the pastor, the very next day, he said, I want you to go with me on an errand, and I want you to meet me at 9 o'clock, and I want you to go with me on an errand. And I was thinking we was going to go visit somebody, Pastor. And well, he pulls up to this boot store, and I knew it wasn't just a visitation. You know, he didn't have any way of knowing this, but I had wanted some ostrich skin cowboy boots for probably 20 years, and he pulled up there, and you know, this is what I'm wearing. he said, we walked in there. He said, you buy any kind you want, and the church will pay for it, of course. I could have picked out a $500 elephant pair, but I didn't want to do that to the church. I got these a lot cheaper than that. But I'll just give you an example how the Lord just gives you the desires of your heart. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. And he has definitely given me a lot of my desires. And I almost asked the pastor if he had any other errands to run the next day, but I didn't. But to get back to the Alaskan trip, God really blessed. We saw 32 people get saved. And it was a very successful trip, not because of what we done, but God just used us as an instrument there. But just to let you know what's going on up there, a missionary named Ronnie Starr, brother, you may know him, Ronnie Starr, he's in Alaska, and he flies planes up into the villages there in order to give them the gospel. Well, they don't have a way of transportation except for planes in the Arctic. There's about 38 Eskimo villages in the Arctic there, and he's already been to like 34. I believe Kotzebue, you may have heard that in the news, Sarah Palin, amen, has been there. But Kotzebue is where we went, and that was like the 35th village that he was able to use this Operation Saturation is what he calls it, where we make sure we get a Bible in every home. And but he asked me to go for one reason, because I play instruments, and the idea there was to form a sort of a group, a singing group, with some of the other preachers and the guys that also played instruments, and that was to attract the people into the services that we had in the evening services, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I didn't know when I went what my opportunities would be for as preaching. I was hoping I'd get to preach. They told me that I probably would be able to, but I didn't know. But the main church there in Fairbanks, which is where we landed in Alaska, is a pretty good sized church, and they allowed me to teach the Sunday school. Of course, I did a little preaching with the teaching there, but they asked me to also preach Wednesday night up there in Kotzebue you know, I guess some of them didn't even know that I was a preacher until that time. But God opened that door for me to preach, and that was a really blessing. But anyway, we flew up to Kotzebue, which is about 400 miles in a single prop plane. And I don't know if you've ever flew in a single prop plane, but it's nothing like a big jet plane. I mean, you feel all the turbulence, you know, you're rocking like this. And I have a little bit of trouble with motion sickness. And I was having a little bit of trouble on that flight. You know, we got in some turbulence. I was wondering, Lord, was this your will for me to come here? I was really questioning, but, you know, the Lord definitely proved to me it was His will. But anyway, we landed there in Kotzebue, and this is kind of humorous. They'd already told me about how bad the mosquitoes were. They were already bad down there in Fairbanks. When we got to Kotzebue, as we were trying to, he was trying to park the plane, we seen this guy walking beside us there that had a net over his head. And one of those bee nets. I told the guys that was in the plane with me, I said, boys, we are in trouble. And sure enough, when we got out of that plane, the mosquitoes just covered our heads and covered our, you know, backs, which we had coats on. We also had insect repellent on. That helped. And thank the Lord, they didn't draw too much blood. I appreciate that. I told the guys here, I knew we'd come to give the gospel. I didn't know I was going to have to give blood, you know. But it was a really experience. And but we were able to have services, like I said, every night. And then Wednesday night, when it come time for me to preach, they'd already told me that the villagers, the Eskimos there, the natives, they like visuals in the preaching. They like to be able to see. Better get my phone out here, make sure I got, check my time here, don't want to go over. But they liked things that, you know, they could see when you were preaching. And like I said, I didn't know I was going to preach, so I wasn't able to prepare for that. And, but God provides. Like I said, where He guides, He provides, don't He? And I was sitting there it was a gym where we had the services, and I was kind of walking around before the services praying that the Lord would show me something I could use as a visual. And I want to share that with y'all tonight, if you don't mind. Before the trip, the Lord laid on my heart to, because I had to have a mandolin and a fiddle with me, the Lord laid it on my heart to buy a case that I could carry both of them in. And I didn't know, I didn't even think about it, but I know God was in this. But on top of the instruments, and some of you play instruments, you know this is pretty normal, they had this little thing here that you'd lay over top of the instruments. And God just put it on my heart to illustrate using this. And I want to share it with y'all. It was a blessing to me. Amen. But they at the gym, they had a big cross. It's actually a small cross, but it was real high. It's probably about 7 foot high. And I illustrated to try to visualize to them what Jesus did for us, using the black side as a representation of our sins. The Bible says, teaches that all of our sins, all of our iniquities, amen. Let's see this side. All of our iniquities was laid upon, matter of fact, let me put it right here so you can see it. All of our iniquities was laid upon Jesus Christ, amen. All of our iniquities, the sin of all the world was put on Jesus Christ there on that cross. Do you you ever thought about that? All of your sins. I like what that songwriter wrote. My sins, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, it is well with my soul. But see, because Jesus bore my sin. And I tried to illustrate to them how Jesus bore their sin. And I also brought out the fact that, you know, if they don't let Jesus take care of their sins, they have to go to hell and take care of their own sins. I tried to explain that. But anyway, but they had that gift that was given to them. Jesus Christ had bore their sins already. on the cross. Aren't you glad of that tonight? I know that I may be a simple way of putting it, but it seemed to get across to them. We had 10 souls get saved that night. Amen. It is a blessing. And but anyway, that illustrated our sins. When I laid that on that cross, that represented our sins and my sins and their sins. The sin of the whole world was laid on that cross. But because Jesus bore our sins, guess what? His righteousness. Let me say this, not what I told them. I said, you have to be, in order to get to heaven, you have to be as righteous as Jesus Christ. You have to be as sinless as Jesus Christ in order to get in God's heaven. And how that happens, when Jesus took all your sin, because Jesus was a righteous person, never sinned once, He give us His righteousness in return. Amen. And God just put that together for me there in Kotzebue. And nobody ever convinced me that God wasn't in that, because it seemed to get through to those folks. And you know, I laid it on me how that we're bearing the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, each and every one of us tonight, if you're saved, you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ on your heart. Amen. You're covered in the righteousness. That's the only way you can get to heaven, is to have His righteousness put on you. Now, we still sin, don't we? We still sin, but that's because the righteousness is just on our heart. Amen. It's not our bodies haven't been changed. We still have these sinful bodies. But thank God, when God Almighty looks at me, what does He see? He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when God looks, that's the only way you, that's the only reason why you can pray to Him. That's the only way you can pray, only reason why you can pray to God is because He sees you spotless as Jesus Christ. Amen. Because He sees your sins. Matter of fact, I was preaching in Colorado. I don't know that I'll get to a lot of preaching. I just want to tell you about what happened. But when we were in Colorado here a while back, I was preaching on prayer. And I said this statement. You see everywhere people talking about praying for our military, praying for our troops, and praying for different people that are sick. And that's a good thing. But let me tell you, folks, you can't pray without knowing Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He was basically saying it this way, you can't come to God unless you come through me. Amen. And a lady come up to me after the service and said, you know, I never thought about that. I've always thought, you know, I knew I wasn't saved, but I've always thought when I prayed to God, He heard my prayer. She said, I realize now that I have to be saved in order for God to answer my prayers. Now, I know God does answer the prayer of a sinner when he calls out to God for salvation. I understand that. But aren't you glad you're covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? God has blessed us. But we saw, like I said, we saw 10 folks saved that night, and that was a real blessing. But I want to give you something from the Word of God also tonight. I don't feel like it'd be, we've been to church unless we read from His Word. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. I just want to give you something sort of going along those same lines tonight, if you don't mind. Philippians chapter 2. I really want to just read verse 12, but the first word there says, wherefore. And if you read that word, wherefore, you have to go back and see why it's there for. What it's there for. Most of you know that. But we also have a wherefore there in verse 9. So we're going to have to go back up, I think, to verse 5 to really get what I'm trying to tell you tonight, or what the Scriptures are telling us. In verse 5, and the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Praise the Lord. It's not up to us to exalt him. He's already been exalted. Amen. And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I think about people like Osama bin Laden, you know, Saddam Hussein. Those folks are Jew haters. They're going to have to bow down to this Jew one day. They're going to have to bow down to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm looking forward to that day. And anybody that hasn't professed Him or bowed down their knee, maybe not physically, but in their heart to Him on this earth, they're going to have to bow their knee in that day. Amen. Amen. I thank God for that. But here we come to this word, wherefore. My beloved, sing all these things in the previous verses. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And what I want to say tonight, God says, to work out your own salvation. You know, that righteousness is in our heart. God wants us to work that righteousness out in our lives, in our daily lives. You say, why do you believe it's talking about that? Well, let's read on, if you would, with me tonight. I know He's not talking about working for your salvation. He don't say that, does He? He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. How many of us are guilty of when we're doing God's will? It's hard for me as those mosquitoes was flying all over me and biting me and things like that happens. It's hard sometimes to serve God without murmuring and disputings or just arguments, arguing with people all the time. Some people just get a thrill out of arguing with people, don't they? But the Bible says don't do that. Don't murmur when you're serving the Lord. Don't be disputing with people. The Bible says in verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. It's already been mentioned tonight how America is. And I love America now. Don't get me wrong. Brother Gary's talking about when you go out, when you come back, you really appreciate it even more. And that's the way I was when I went to some other places. But we still live in the best country around, amen, anywhere in the world. But let me say, we've got a lot of crookedness. We got a lot of crookedness in our government. And y'all pardon me, but I think if a man runs for an office and he runs on the ticket of being a family man, and then they find out that he's been running around on his wife, I think they ought to throw him out on his head. If you don't, that's just my opinion. Amen. That's crooked. That's to say one thing and do another, to pretend to be one way and to be another. But it goes on and say a perverse nation, a wicked nation. We're living in a wicked times, folks. When people that live wicked all of their life, they're put on a pedestal and worshiped for 4 or 5 days on the television. Do I have to go any further with that? Amen. Brother Mitchell said, am I right? Amen. But anyway, it's a perverse wickedness. And then folks men and women that give their lives over there on the battlefields are never recognized. But they're dying for our freedom. And they should be recognized when that happens. Everything's turned around. I mean, good is called evil and evil is called good. Do you realize that? If you don't realize that, open your eyes. Amen. Behold what's going around us. It's like I've never seen. It's perverse. But listen, I like what Paul says. He don't leave it on a pessimistic note here. He says, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. talking about the church of Philippi there, he says, ye, even though things are dark around you, ye are still being lights in the world. Folks, it's going to get darker. But I tell you what, be of good cheer. The darker that it gets, the brighter our light's going to shine. Amen. Are we letting our light so shine? Turn with me right quickly to Matthew chapter 5. I was reading this today. I would have liked to preach something I'd preached before, but God just laid these things, simple thoughts on my heart, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it's back up to verse 14. Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. Now, he's talking to us, folks. He's talking to Gateway Baptist Church and all the other churches that are spreading the gospel. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And he says, this is what Jesus says. He says, let your light so shine before men that you may see, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How many times have you heard folks say, well, you know, God don't look on the outward appearance. He looketh on the heart. And that is in the Bible. But God wants those inward things to show out. Amen. He wants them to come. Somebody said, how can somebody as big as God live in you and it not poke out every once in a while? Amen. But he says, ye are the light of the world. And he says that men may see your good works. How is the world going to see Jesus unless we let that righteousness, that light that's in us, unless we let it show out. Amen. Unless we let that light so shine. And I'll be the first to admit that I don't always let my light shine like I should. How many opportunities have we had that we let go, let pass us by? I'll give you an example now. I believe that I was letting my light shine during this time, let me say quickly that I don't always do this, but we were flying back in the plane there after we got back to Fairbanks, and of course I had to take a jet airplane back to Minnesota. And from Minnesota, we flew to Charlotte. And on that trip, when I got in the plane, I was surrounded by this older gentleman, probably about my age or older. but I'm qualified dad, didn't I? I'm saying I'm old tonight, amen. But anyway, he was probably older than I was. But he was sitting beside me, and there were a lot of young people around him, young boys. Well, they got to cussing and using God's name in vain. But you know what? This man, he opened the door wide open. I couldn't help but jump in it. You know, he says, where have you been? I'd already told him I'd been in Alaska. He says, what were you doing in Alaska? Ding, 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 ding. It's time for me, amen, to come in there and share with him. I let him know, Brother Tenjin, that we had, you know, so many people saved, 32 people saved. You say, how do you know he knew what that was talking about? Well, I had a sort of an idea that he did because he was from Boone, North Carolina, one of the, you know, the Bible Belt. I knew he probably would know something about people being saved. And I told him about, you know, we were able to hand out Bibles. And I was just really trying to let my light shine. Well, it kind of got quiet after that. But the boys behind us and around us were still cussing. He wasn't cussing anymore, but thank God. I thank God there's still some respect for preachers in our land, some places, amen. I appreciated that about him. But I turned my head to the window looking out, and I heard him whispering in the back. And you know what I heard him whispering? I said, he's a preacher, he's a preacher, he's a preacher. I mean, all the way back to almost the back of the plane, he's a preacher. He's a preacher. That blessed my heart. Amen. That it spread around that I didn't even tell him I was a preacher, but I guess he figured out we were trying to get people saved. Amen. That I must be a preacher. But you know what? It humbled me in my heart. I thought, Lord, please don't let me do anything to discredit your name. I have such an opportunity to be a light for you. And I tried to be the rest of the trip. Matter of fact, I was able to give him the gospel before it was over with. But I thank God. But how many times do we miss that opportunity to be the light of the world? I just happen to believe that guy thought about that a lot more than just on that plane ride. Amen. I believe the Lord probably started working with him. And not to mention all those young, matter of fact, you may wonder where they had been in Wyoming. They were on a fishing trip, but it's probably 15 or 20 of them all. Don't tell me God didn't put me right there. Amen. God could put me there for a reason. And God helped each and every one of us to take advantage of giving that light wherever we go. I want to be the light God wants me to be. Amen. And I hope you have that same desire, because Jesus commanded us to be, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You say, I hear it a lot, and I've just said this. A lot of people say, well, you know, it don't matter what, how you look on the outside or how you dress. Yes, it does. That's what people are looking for. They're looking for something different. And it goes a lot further than that. They're looking for somebody that talks different. Amen. That acts different than the rest of the world. And folks, we can be the light of the world in this perverse and crooked generation that we live in. We have such an opportunity in these days that we are living in. Y'all stand with me with your heads bowed. Lord, I thank you, God, for this opportunity to preach your word. Father, Lord, I pray that you use these simple words, Lord, to be a blessing to somebody. Father, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us all to be the light of the world that you've commanded us to be. What an opportunity, Lord, you've given us, and help us to always take advantage of that opportunity. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.